You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast. It is April 6th, 2023.
While we're recording this.
While we're recording this.
Yeah, not when you're listening.
Not when you're listening to this. So if you...
So if you freaked out because you thought you were a few days ahead.
You're good. This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Brian Brummett. Peter is out. I don't know why, but he is. Holy Week, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's hard to imagine my coworkers and what they do outside of work.
I know. I saw Peter yesterday and he was wearing shorts and like a casual button down shirt and a hat. And
there's like a 50% chance I wouldn't recognize him.
I was like, who are you? This is weird. Put some pants on, man.
When I think of me as a person, I don't think of myself in a suit. But the rest of you all, absolutely. I imagine that's just how you are.
Well, Peter is out. I also wanted to really quick recognize the fact that Chris, our loyal Cornhusker fan, listener, Chris sent in a good question a couple weeks ago, and Chris, I just wanted to let you know we have not forgotten about you. I was actually going to address that today, but Peter decided to lay out of work, so I didn't want to make Peter upset that we addressed your question without him.
So instead, Peter, what we've decided to do was use economics to compare baseball and Star Wars.
Oh. He
would kill us, wouldn't he?
He
wouldn't want to miss that one.
No. It's like Peter's two top-tier favorite things.
Held together with economics, which is another one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's do it.
Let's dive right in.
We do have some things that are worth mentioning. There's been a lot going on over the past week and a half. I guess we owe a congratulations to UConn and LSU, who are both national champions in basketball.
So in the office, has anybody already won March Madness?
Yes.
Okay. It was not me. I assume you would have told me.
It was not you. It was not me. It was actually Peter.
There you go.
So good job, Peter. You get the prize. You get an extra day off. But UConn winning the men's side, LSU winning the women's side. You know, another quick note, MLB had opening day just not long ago, a couple of days ago. They're in full swing now, so...
What does full swing in baseball mean? Is that how many games?
A bazillion.
A bazillion.
Yeah. I can't remember now how many they play. If I'm not mistaken, they adjusted that not long ago. That's what Peter would know.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just get him on the phone.
Let's just start talking. Let's get him on the phone.
We're going to do it. We got a caller. I've always wanted to. I would love to be able to arrange that where we can have phone calls. That'd be so good.
How appropriate is it, though, that we get 5 minutes into a podcast before we need Peter to answer a question for us?
It would be so great to have someone call in. And I'd always want him to be like, hey, guys, you know, first-time caller, long-time listener.
So we'd have to know people the time we're going to record and everything.
I know that people can't see this, but in the background, I have the Masters on because it teed off this morning. Started today, you know, a tradition unlike any other.
You know, you were actually with me when I hit my first golf ball.
Oh, over at Ridgefields?
Yeah, they had
on
the simulator.
Simulator.
There we go.
That's it.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I could have spent the entire evening in there, and I wasn't good, but.
Well, I'm glad I was with you for your first time.
Yeah, so. That was fun.
Brian just in there. Hacking away at it. And then evidently your wife could be
on
tour.
She's never done it either, but she did do well.
Just go ahead and sign her up.
Did you see her first shot?
I don't think I saw her first shot.
It hits the middle of the wall pretty hard.
Yes.
And they were
dead
on. They were like, that's awesome. How long have you been playing?
And she was like, what is this, a golf club? I don't even
Lacey's
know.
Lacey's one of those people that she picks something up and she's either immediately good at it or she will be shortly.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, yes, Masters going on right now, watching Tiger Woods play. He's not playing so well, but it's okay. He's been through a lot.
Addiction's a real issue.
He's been through a lot. So we got Tiger playing. We also have to get Lacey her player's card now.
Yeah. Because
evidently she's going to join tour. Yeah. You could be her caddy.
Yeah.
Just literally all you do is walk and hand her stuff.
That very much like my home life.
Right. Yeah. Normal day in the Brummett house, right? Just walk around, hand her stuff.
Now, I'm seeing here on our list that we're going to be wearing hard hats. Is that important in golf also, or do you just yell four and hope for the best?
You yell four and hope for the best. Okay. Yeah. I mean, a hard hat is not required, but, you know, it could never hurt if you're standing a few hundred yards down from tee and someone's, you know, powering the ball at 190 miles an hour.
We were looking at hard hats the other day, and it's interesting what types are out there. There's some that are shaped like, was it cowboy hats?
Cowboy hats, yeah.
That was cool.
Cowboy hats. Well, we need some hard hats because we're getting so close on our building, and we're going to do some kind of behind-the-scenes hard hat tours. So, hey, if you want a hard hat tour, email me at connect@afiadvisors.com. We'll get you on the list. It'll probably be in a couple of weeks. We still need to set the date and kind of the details for that, and then there will be more of a kind of formal invite to people. You know, I don't know. There may be 10 people interested. There may be 200.
Yeah.
Probably not 200.
It could be. It could be.
The range is probably more between like 10 and 30. But 200 sounds a lot.
But the building
better.
Looks really neat. And
the building does look great.
You know, just the ability to walk around and show people what's going on could be a lot of fun.
It was cool to be over there yesterday. I was over there, and you can kind of tell what everything is now from, you know, studs and walls going up. But they're getting close. The brick is almost completely done on the outside. Looks really nice. Looks really fancy. Looks like a great place to come and, you know,
invest your money
and kind of relax in a cool environment, maybe even podcast with some dudes.
You know, we're not a bank or anything, but I've been going around and kind of looking at the way banks are set up. The banks that have been around for a while look kind of like the building we're in now, just big brick buildings.
In your face
and strong looking. But these new ones, I guess they're trying to get their overhead down or something, because the new ones, they're like drive-thrus.
Mobile homes.
Yeah, they're like, where's the bank at this week? I don't know. It moved up the road. But they're tiny. And it makes sense if you want your CDs to be higher and you know, to pay more people more money, you got to lower your overhead. But
right. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge, you know, we're in Holy Week right now, Easter Sunday coming up. Big deal. Are you a big Easter fan? Some people are and some people aren't.
I like Easter okay. I mean, I have good childhood memories, but I don't necessarily do anything special now.
Did you grow up in a family where you got Easter baskets?
Yeah, and my mom used to hide them, and we had to go find them when we woke up. Oh, did yours do that?
No, that's terrible, man.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
I don't want to go hunting for it.
So there was, you know, it's me and my sister. My sister's about 5 years younger than me, so there was a lot of the time I would find hers because for some reason mom didn't hide hers as well. And I was just, you just don't say anything. You just get excited for a moment and then realize it's not your basket and keep going.
Did you ever reach a stage where your Easter baskets kind of shifted from predominantly candy and treats to like maybe model cars,
we're not talking like Christmas level toys, but
no,
like, yeah,
it's,
but
it's like someone went to the dollar
go
store
in a basket.
And got all the little tchotchke cars.
So if I'm remembering right, mine started off with chocolate and candies, went up to the toys, and then came back to the chocolates and candies. As
isn't that life
in
general?
Now I just go buy a bag of candy at Walmart or something.
But yeah, isn't that life in general? Like, we all start, we get to the point, and then we kind of end up, in a way, back where we started.
Back where we started.
Not to get all cryptic or
morbid.
Well, I
mean, it's true, though. Like, you know, you grow up and you have this personality, and then you go through that horrible, awful thing called puberty, where you just become the demon spawn version of yourself. But then you kind of, some people come back.
Let's talk about some fun Easter facts.
Yeah.
Did you know? We've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. You put these together.
Yeah. I hope they're right.
It's a fun feeling, isn't it?
I'm fairly sure they're right.
They came from the internet. I don't see how they could be wrong.
You know it's right. So 2.6 billion worth of Easter candy is sold annually in the U.S. alone.
So I wonder if that counts people that go after Easter and buy Easter candy.
On sale?
Yeah.
Probably
not.
No, I feel like it's deadline approved.
Yeah.
So
this is $2.6 billion worth of candy was sold for Easter.
Correct.
Okay.
So, I would imagine that once that clock strikes 12:01, that...
I know, but like if I get Halloween candy and I don't eat it all that night, it's still Halloween candy.
Well, they're just talking about the purchase, okay. Brian. So, and it's funny you mentioned Halloween because Halloween's obviously the number one holiday,
right.
But Easter's second for the most candy sales, which I guess makes sense.
That is interesting.
I don't know of any other holidays where people are really, maybe Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, but it tends to not be a big basket of it, more of a smaller bit. At least that's what Lacey gets.
She's so spoiled.
I know, but she does get chocolate, and apparently 70% of Easter candy purchased is chocolate.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense.
That makes sense.
The heavy hitters for me in my Easter lineup, when I'm thinking, it's all like, you know, chocolate bunnies and
those big bunnies that are hollow inside.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
And the Reese's eggs.
Yep.
Cadbury. Whoa.
Oh, that's...
Did we just...
Jinx, you owe me a Cadbury egg.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah,
also,
I'm not there yet, but...
I want everyone to know that what just happened was not edited. That literally just happened live.
Jelly beans?
Oh, yeah. Well, jelly beans is on
about,
here. Yeah, I forget about jelly beans.
I do, too.
Yeah, because they have on here that 16 million plus jelly beans are eaten during Easter. That's a lot of jelly beans.
That is a lot of jelly beans. How many Americans are there? How many people live in America?
I don't know. I'm not looked lately.
So there's about, 340 million people?
Americans,
yeah. So.
It's a lot of jelly beans.
That's like 5 or 6 jelly beans per person.
Yeah.
So I can do my part this year.
Sheesh. I'm down for some jelly beans. I have fallen in love with the Starburst jelly beans. I think that they are superior. And what I don't like are what's the brand that's the crazy flavored ones?
There's a bunch of them.
The weird,
yeah.
They had the weird flavors like puke and armpit stain. And have you ever had any of those? What?
No, I've not had any of those. That sounds like something I would avoid anyway.
It's terrible.
I'm sorry. We only have to have like half of a jelly bean per person. I got my numbers mixed up.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, that's why I wasn't paying any attention to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering, is Brian just left the planet while he's on his phone and I'm just over here talking? It's pretty normal day in the office, it seems like. But it's funny that...
But no, I've not had any of the nasty sounding ones.
I can't think of the brand.
I know they have like Harry Potter jelly beans.
Yes.
Please excuse this interruption. The jelly bean brand they cannot think of is, in fact, Jelly Belly. # the more you know.
So it's in that same wheelhouse. Yeah, and even the Harry Potter ones have some weird, like, odd type.
I want to say I like the pinks and the reds of the normal jelly beans, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, if you get the weird ones, stay away from any that are, like, brown.
Oh, yeah.
Or black, or any dark color for that matter. It's funny, though, that 76% of Americans think the ears of a chocolate bunny should be the first eaten thing on it.
I've never been asked that or thought about it. I start at the ears, but I don't necessarily think it should be.
It just seems logical
to
start at the
ears. Yeah, it does seem.
I think I even try to break the ear.
Okay.
I don't just like stick the whole... It's like I dissect the bunny, right?
But you don't learn as much as you used to.
I know,
to
it's like, see, I could have been a surgeon. So I was just like taking this ear off and eating it. I could see that.
Yeah.
It'd be weird to start anywhere else, right? Yeah. You wouldn't start in the middle. What kind of weird person would do that? If you start eating your chocolate bunny from the middle, call in right now. 1-800-BULLSEYE-PODCAST. See, even more proof we need to do live shows with
call-ins.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it'd be fun.
Peeps always get a bad rap. I'm talking about the candy.
Yeah, not me.
Not people.
Not your peeps.
Not peeps like you. But the best-selling non-chocolate Easter candy
is Peeps.
That can't be right.
I guess there's like a subsection of people who love them, and they just buy a lot of them or something.
I feel like there's no middle ground.
Yeah, you either love
like
them or you hate them.
People get so passionate about that. It's
they're
like,
just marshmallows, aren't they?
For real.
Yeah. I mean, they don't taste bad to me, but
I like Peeps.
Yeah, they're fine.
My child.
I guess I am in the
home,
middle of the peep thing. I don't care.
My child brought home this, because now they're getting fancy with it. Peeps is getting all churched up a little bit. They're getting all these crazy flavors, right? So you've got my son brought home one that was chocolate pudding,
huh?
Maybe, and it was good.
Yeah, I was gonna say that actually doesn't sound bad.
And I had about 8 of them.
Can you do something like that on like a s'mores?
Dude, you can do anything on a s'more. There's
just throw like a peep on a s'more.
Like, you're not going to get in trouble.
Oh, I know, but would it taste bad? I think some of them would probably taste pretty good.
I think that's all of our nifty little Easter snippets.
We tried to do a double one this time. So the meat part of what we were wanting to talk about today is social media.
Yes, but it's so much more fun to talk about
absolutely.
Candy.
But the social media thing's interesting. I thought this would be a good one for you to lean into a lot,
yeah,
Josh, being
so
the marketing guy.
Thinking about what, like 5 things to be aware of when it comes to social media and the actual market itself.
Yeah, and how it impacts the stock market.
Yeah, some really interesting things here.
I know I said we need to hear Josh's opinion, but I'm going to start.
Oh.
So when I think, you know, regards to social media and the stock market, the first thing that usually comes to mind is actual companies, social media companies, who are stocks in the stock market.
Is MySpace a stock?
I don't think so. I haven't looked into MySpace in forever. You know, it was remember a few years ago when MySpace accidentally like deleted like 1/3 of their accounts and they started sending out emails?
Yeah.
It seemed like a cry for help for me. Like, hey guys, do you even care anymore? We got rid of your account.
I mean, I came into the picture. So I'm 38 going on 39, and I came into the picture a little late on MySpace. I think I was entering that realm as it was slowly exiting.
Gotcha. I liked it because you could rank all of your friends and just cause major turmoil
in
high school.
That's so brutal.
I know.
That's so brutal.
I don't think I was anybody's top friend, but that's okay.
Well... Let's not get caught in the weeds here. So,
but yeah,
yes.
So when I think of social media stocks, I guess the first one that comes to mind is Meta. You know,
sure.
They're over Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, they're a big player in the stock market. Their company alone's worth, you know, $550 billion.
Right.
I mean, that's legit money.
Yeah, they're a heavy hitter.
And, you know, we also can think about companies like Match Group. So Match Group owns Tinder and OkCupid and Hinge and that, you know, the dating websites.
I don't know what any of those are.
They're dating websites that I learned about this morning.
I'm clearly joking.
But
it's a little weird, Brian, married man, that you know about all the dating sites.
Well, I was like, what other social media stocks are there besides Meta?
What about Twitter?
So Twitter went, Elon Musk purchased Twitter, and it ended up going private.
It went private.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't actually go out and buy Twitter stocks right now.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, obviously, I know the whole Elon Musk situation on Twitter, but I didn't know that they went private.
Yeah. So, you know, when we're talking, but there's Bumble. Mm-hmm. You know, there's quite a few social medias that fall into that, even right. if they're not doing Facebook-style things.
Right.
And when we think social media, dating sites do fall on there. You know, various things like
how
that.
How many people do you think are buying actual social media stocks?
I mean, quite a few. If you look at Meta alone, they're working really big on this metaverse.
Right. They're going to just literally conquer the world.
They're literally, yeah, putting every... And so, to me, if you buy into the story of the metaverse... Mm-hmm. Then Meta is a good long-term company to buy. And at being worth $550 billion, there's quite a few people who do buy into that story.
Yeah, that's kind of self-explanatory yeah. when you look at it from a numbers side.
And then did you get to participate or watch or any of the meme stocks?
No.
I think social media in a lot of ways has propelled the meme stock. If we go back to December 31st, 2020, then GameStop was worth $4.71 per share.
Oh, the GameStop. Here we
yeah.
go.
Yeah. By January 29th, $81 per share.
Yeah.
So $4 to $81 in 1 month. And now it's down to $22.50.
So there's so much somewhere my friend Tommy is listening. He's probably driving down the road because he's on the road all the time. But he's probably driving down the road right now. And he's just grinning and he's saying,
I told you.
Because he always talks about the GameStop stocks and the AMC.
Yeah, AMC
theater.
Came
yeah.
after that.
He's
yeah.
like,
if y'all would have listened to me, we'd be millionaires right now.
I always like to make fun because when I first started here and I was trying to learn how to do this stock picking and mm-hmm. stuff, I told Peter that I really liked the company GameStop, and he went through and did a great job explaining to me why it's not would not have been a good idea.
Right.
So I like to throw it out there every now and then that if we would have bought it, we would be fine.
Right.
We would be up quite, but not for the reasons that I initially said. But you know, the meme stocks, that was propelled by Wall Street Bets on Reddit.
Really?
Yeah. Reddit literally had a bunch of people get together, had a hypothesis, mm-hmm. exercised that hypothesis, and marketed it over Wall Street Bets, and got a bunch of people involved and allowed the meme stocks situation to happen.
You know, I don't know that we actually explained the meme stock situation.
That might be
to
a
people.
That might be a fun full episode.
Yeah.
But essentially, the stock was being had a lot of short sellers.
Right.
And people raising the price so much caused the short sellers to have to go ahead and close their positions, which would raise the price more.
Right.
And so that's how people, very, very short general story of how that happened. But I mean, but GameStop, because of that, is better off than they ever would have been without this happening. Going really? From, yeah, if they went from 471 in December of 2020 mm-hmm. and they're at 2250 today, I mean,
I hear you.
They put them on the map.
That makes
right?
sense. That makes sense. Another kind of interesting place where these things cross is the non-professional retail sales.
Yeah.
So what all's falling into that basket?
So the one I mostly looked at was Facebook Marketplace.
Marketplace, yeah. Which is insane. I look at Facebook Marketplace every day.
I don't doubt. A lot of people apparently do. I couldn't find 2022 numbers.
Uh-huh.
But in 21, $26 billion in gross revenue was non-professional retail sales on Meta's, on
yeah,
Facebook Marketplace.
Right.
And that was up 48% from 2020. So it's a lot and growing.
So I do know this. I do know of people who use Marketplace as literally their primary point of sale
right.
to customers. So they're even, they'll go like... refurbishing.
Yeah.
Antiquing's a huge deal on there. So, you know, they'll go to these estates, these different sales, and get really old vintage pieces for literally nothing sometimes.
Yeah.
Literally, people are just like, hey, come get it. You can have it. And then they'll take it and put some TLC into it, sell it for $400.
Yep.
I mean, they probably made a $350 profit.
Yeah.
Right off that one piece. So, it's
and
bizarre.
So, instead of going and working at a traditional job, some people are just doing this.
Yeah.
Which these people, I would argue, are self-driven, highly motivated, type A personalities who are able to have the personality to go out and do this on their own. These would be great employees.
Right.
But
they don't
not
need
the,
to be,
But
though.
They're not in the workforce.
Yeah, well, they, I mean, pff,
Because they found something better for them.
Yeah.
And to me, that's something that social media has done, right, is it's changed the way work looks for a lot of people.
There's so many people right now who just heard that, who are typing up their resignation letter right now.
Like retail arbitrage.
Right? Yeah, it's like, nope. Facebook Marketplacer.
No, I think what you do is you go ahead and you name your company something interesting, then do all of the Facebook Marketplace through your company name. So you're not, you know, Facebook Marketer, you're CEO and president of, you know, Red Dot Company or whatever.
So what's the deal with increased discussions and transparency?
So the reason I put that on there is CEOs, analysts, people who are looking at stocks, we all get on social media and discuss them. Bob Iger will get on every now and then and tweet something about Disney. Mm-hmm. Or Elon Musk will tweet something about one of the 18, 19 companies that he's got going on.
He doesn't tweet, does he?
Nah. But, you know, that sort of thing, being able to look at Twitter and get faster information from the people running these companies, or even an analyst at, you know, AFI could put something out there that would theoretically influence some people's buys and sells.
Which makes sense because, I mean, obviously, 20, 30 years ago, you know, big-time employees, C-suite, presidents, anyone like that weren't making tweets.
Right.
They might make a general statement or publish an article to kind of speak their mind, but they weren't doing it live.
And
quick.
People all over the place talk their books to their friends and their coworkers and, you know, doctor groups. I know they talk to each other about the stocks they have in their portfolios and stuff like that. Now, instead of just doing it with the people who are beside you in life, you can do it with anybody around the world and discuss theories and philosophies and stuff. And it helps the research side of it.
Right. Well, being around the right people,
yeah,
that helps. As long as there's not a personality risk.
Which is number five, right? So the personality risk's fun because, you know, whereas there is more transparency and discussion and stuff, there's also a lot more room for CEOs to say something really stupid and cause their stock to go down, even if the stock is fine. So I like to think back to the early 2016 when Donald Trump's administration first came in and became, you know, he became president and they started doing, and he tweeted a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the market a long time to figure out what to do with that information that he was tweeting.
Right.
So we'd have situations where Donald Trump would come out and say, you know, over the White House's thing that the stock market's doing something good.
Yeah.
And you'd see the price of this, or the prices in the stock market rise that day. So he created a level of risk, which is both on the good and the bad side, that influenced the stock market. President Trump's tweets were a good indication about how social media influenced the day-to-day of the stock market.
And it still does.
And it still does.
I mean, you can't, and it's hard to predict a lot of that stuff because people are unpredictable.
And he's not the only player doing this.
Absolutely not. Yeah, there are many of people on an upper echelon who I couldn't imagine being their publicist or someone trying to keep them under control because there's just no way to do it. But you're right. Some of the things that get sent out there over the social airwaves have a huge effect on not even just the market, on people, their influence, life in general. So it's definitely something that's a very big player.
And this is just a general overview of how the stock market's impacted by social media. There's all kinds of derivative issues too. Social media causing mental health issues in teenagers. That's awful. Mm-hmm. But it's going to also turn around and impact the stock market in some way that we won't even be able to measure.
Right. Well, disclaimer, we are not saying that we are yay or nay, President Trump or any other elected officials. We're just saying that we're just stating an obvious fact that he tweets a lot and it has an effect.
Absolutely. And I would argue that there were some tweets that definitely caused good and some tweets that
definitely
made my day harder.
Right. Yeah. That's too funny. Well, I think, I think as we kind of recap here and wind this one down, social media is going to just continue to have a huge effect on the financial world, personal wealth, any kind of public or privately held group is going to have the impact of social media in the world.
Even if you have no social media, your life is being affected by it.
Correct. So I guess that's something that we need to keep on our radar as we move forward with, you know, kind of our financial plan with what we're doing. And I think it's funny because I know that, you know, we've always told people that a lot of what we do in the market is affected by so many different things, you know, politics, presidents, things of that nature. And but now with social media, it kind of gives other people a chance to see it live.
Absolutely.
See it happening. Not just us see it, but them see it. And then they make their own decisions.
Well, that brings us back to the transparency issue. Now, not only is it out there and there is transparency, but as a company, we're required to do it or we're falling behind.
Right. Well, Brian, thank you for hashing this out with me. I'm going to let you get back to work, and I'm going to see where Tiger Woods is at on the leaderboard. He looks really irritated right now. He's got a very dominant power stance.
How do you get that sweaty playing golf?
Dude, they're walking.
I guess so.
They're walking and playing, and it's like 86 degrees outside, man.
Okay.
I start back
sweating. I'm just thinking he's like an intense guy. He's just in it.
I start back sweating as I walk up two flights of these stairs down here. So
is the elevator still out?
Actually, don't want to talk about that because I have PTSD.
Speaking of social media.
Speaking of Josh almost dying.
I get to work, and on my Facebook, I see a video from Josh being stuck in an elevator.
It was very traumatic. I was stuck in an elevator. I didn't know what to do. I said even in my video, I'm glad that, you know, I at least have snacks and I don't have to pee. So I was good for a while, but I made it out. It just kind of opened. I didn't do anything. It's not like I... It just kind of opened. The elevator was like, here, we're done with you.
Spit you back out.
Everybody go to AFIAdvisors.com and check out our profiles. Check out a little bit about what we do here. Also, join us on our social channels. We try to be as interactive as possible on there. Brian, you got anything else?
I think I'm good. I appreciate you having me on again today.
All right, man. It was fun. I hope everyone has a great Easter holiday, and we'll see you all back soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show? Or maybe be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thanks for all of the support.